Hi, I am James Collins. I'm from Southeast Oklahoma. Where I come from, we say, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? All right. This is, I've done some Army training over the years in Missouri, but this is my first time here in Festus, and it's Missouri, right? You don't say Missouri. Do you? I thought you'd be a Yankee if you said Missouri. It's Missouri, right? Misery. Okay. Well, hey, I want y'all to know. A little about myself. I was a chaplain in the United States Army. Did 25 years of service in the Army. God took me all over the world preaching the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you. The thing about being in the Army is they like to send you on these exotic paid vacations to places like Iraq. And after they'd sent me to Iraq several times, I kind of had enough of that and got out, was pastor for a few years in Kansas, southeast Kansas, a little place called Fort Scott, pastored a church there. And then Larry Spargimino at Southwest Radio Ministries and Noah Hutchings were seminary professors of mine, friends of mine through the years. And I got accepted to the call there about a year and a half ago to Southwest Radio Ministries. If you're not familiar with Southwest Radio Church, we're the oldest continuing broadcast ministry in the world since 1933, 5 days a week, half-hour radio show. That's a lot of programs since 1933, almost 90 years of proclaiming the gospel. The ministry was founded, we'll talk about it in just a second. Ministry was founded by a man named E.F. Weber, who felt like in 1933 that all signs were pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ. In 1933, he believed that. So, and I want to talk about the signs of the times here with you this morning in Sunday school. But so he pastored a church in Oklahoma City. He bought some airtime on an AM, giant AM, 100,000-watt radio station, Oklahoma City, KTOK. He bought airtime on there. And his radio ministry was an extension of his church, so he called it Southwest Radio Church. And the program grew from there. At one time, he was on eight AM 100,000-watt stations throughout the Southwest. And I understand from the things that I've read, the study, that he was as popular as the Grand Ole Opry radio program. Everybody's heard of the Grand Ole Opry, but you may not have heard of E.F. Weber unless you were around back in the 1930s and 40s. But he was America's radio pastor. People would stop their car when he came on the radio and listen to him. And he died in the 1950s. The show continued on with Noah Hutchings and David Weber, other guys through the years. And I'm just blessed that I'm even... I'm just an old country boy, you know what I'm saying? I'm just blessed that they even... I can't even spell, you know, FM, AM. I don't know. So here I am on 700 Christian radio stations now all over the world. Pastor Mike, your pastor's one of my favorite guests. It's always an interesting conversation when I have Mike Hoggard on the radio program with me. He always comes up with something very interesting, gets the phones ringing, you know what I'm saying? Whether it be UFOs or cryptid creatures or something strange like that, he always comes up with some interesting programs. So I'm blessed to be here today. I'm a fan of Pastor Mike, and excited to be here to share with you this morning in Sunday school and in church, in the church hour later. I want you, has everybody got a handout? My son John here has got a little handout. If you'd like a handout, raise your hand. This is some of the signs that I'll be talking about from the Word of God. I went through the Bible, and we've got some of the signs that show that we're living in the end of the age. Back in the early 1980s, there were three men from our ministry, Noah Hutchings, David Weber, and J.R. Church. They all got together to do some writings on why they believe we are living in the last days. This is back in the early 1980s when they did this. David Weber wrote about Russia. J.R. Church wrote about the world going cashless in the 1980s. he was concerned about the world going cashless back then. And then Noah Hutchings wrote about Israel. And these men took their writings. Their writings were put into little booklets. Our radio minister used to have a lot of booklets. You remember those little booklets with a staple in the middle, about 30, 40, 50 pages, and people would get those. Well, about 6 months ago or so, I was asked by our board of directors to take those writings and update them and add a new chapter. And the material that I'm going to present to you today is basically my new chapter that's going to be compiled in that book. It's the first time I've presented it, so you'll bear with me. I want to talk today about the signs that point to the soon return of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 24:36 and 25:13 that we cannot know the time of the Lord's return. I'm not setting dates. We are not date setters, but the scriptures make it equally clear that we can know the season of the Lord's return. If you have your Bibles, my verse today that I'm going to be looking at is this one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. There the Bible says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Now, the passage I just read there tells us that Jesus is coming like a thief in the night, but then it proceeds to make it clear that that's only going to be true for the lost world, the pagan world, and not for believers. His return should be no surprise for those who love Jesus and love his word. So the scripture here gives us signs to watch for, signs that will signal Jesus' soon return. The writer of Hebrews referred to these signs when he said that believers should encourage one another as they see the day of judgment drawing near. That's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus also talked about these signs in his Olivet Discourse during the last week of his life in Matthew 24. He gave a whole series of signs. I'm going to talk about some of those here in a minute. And he said, "So likewise ye, when ye see all these things, know that the end is near, even at the doors." Now, I mentioned E.F. Weber. E.F. Weber was a godly man who founded Southwest Radio Church. And every time I think of the signs of the times, I think of this man. Because he felt, again, in 1933, that the signs pointing to Jesus' soon return were so thick that he had to start a ministry, a prophetic ministry. So Dr. Weber wrote this in the early 1940s. He wrote, "I do not understand how, but Israel will once again be a nation in the last days." Now, he wrote that in the early 1940s. In 1950, he visited the newly established nation of Israel. Was established in May of 1948, and he visited Israel, and he shed tears because he saw Bible prophecy being fulfilled before his very eyes. He said this: "When I first started preaching, you had to scratch around like a chicken to find one sign of the Lord's soon return." He paused for a moment, and then he added, "But today, there are so many signs, I'm no longer looking for them. Instead, I'm listening for the sound of a trumpet." He said that in 1950. Now, imagine what he would say today if he could be here now and turn the news on today and see the crazy world that we're living in, all the signs that point to Jesus' soon return. You know, he talked about when he first started preaching, there was not a single sign, but really that kind of started to change in 1917 with this guy, Lord Balfour. Have you heard of this British declaration, the Balfour Declaration? This declaration was came about after World War I. So in World War I, the Turks sided with the Germans. Guess what? They lost. So when the Germans lost the war, the Turks also lost. And what the Allies did after World War I was they took all their stuff and divided it up. And so the Turkish territories, the Ottoman Empire, owned the homeland of the Jewish people, what is Israel today. Now, they called it Palestine. I hate that term. I hate the term Palestine. I'll tell you why. The Romans named it Palestine as a way to try to wipe out everything Jewish. Palestine comes from the Philistines. The Philistines were the enemies of the Jewish people. So the Romans named it Palestine as kind of a way to say, yeah, take that, Jews, you know, as a way to kind of wipe out all of the Jewish people. But anyway, in 1917, they divided up Israel and Jordan, and the British got Palestine, got that area. And Balfour, who was the British Foreign Secretary, wrote that it was his intention, it was the intention of the British government to establish in Palestine a national home for the Jewish people. Well, that got everybody excited. When he did that in 1917, that got everybody excited. There was a guy named D.L. Moody. You ever hear of D.L. Moody? There was D.L. Moody, who was a Baptist preacher. There was another guy, a friend of D.L. Moody, who his name was F.B. Meyer. They got together, they realized all this, and they started saying, hey, this is Bible prophecy. This is Isaiah 11. This is going to be the Jewish people regathered in their homeland right before the return of the Messiah. And so they called a meeting of preachers to talk about this, but before they could have this meeting, another amazing thing happened. 1917, General Edmund Allenby liberated the city of Jerusalem after 400 years of the Turks controlling it. So these things, I think, kind of started what we see the modern time of the end, so to speak. And since that time of that Balfour Declaration, there has been one thing after another in Bible prophecy that's been fulfilled. And I think there's so many signs that we see today that you'd have to be biblically illiterate. You know what I'm saying? You'd have to be biblically illiterate not to recognize what was going on in the world. So I've been kind of, for this book and for another study I did, I've been kind of going through. That's what these signs are here. I went through the Bible and I found over 50 that are on these sheets for you to look at. This is extra homework for you. You can kind of go through and study this yourself in the Bible. But there's over 50. But what I've done is I've put them into categories. All right? So we've got the signs of Israel, the signs of nature, signs of society, spiritual signs, signs of world politics, and signs of technology. So I have Israel listed first on your sheet because Israel, I think, is the most important. That's the super sign of Bible prophecy. All right, I want to talk about Israel last. Okay, so don't let me get too long-winded and go too long. Okay, because I'll do that. You know the three biggest lies that have ever been told, right? The three biggest lies that have ever been told. Number one, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Number two, the check's in the mail. And number three, I'm a Baptist preacher and I'm here this morning just to say a few words. That's the three biggest lies that have ever been told. So when I run out of time here, y'all yell at me and we'll move on into the next, into church hour. But anyway, all right, let's talk about nature first. I want to talk about the signs of nature. Bible says in Luke 21:11, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. Do I even need to talk about pestilences today? How has our world changed in the last 2 years with this COVID mess? All this stupidity that's been going on, government overreach, closing churches, and all this craziness that's been going on. But I want to talk about these signs of nature. Now, whenever I talk about this, usually somebody will come up to me afterwards and they'll say, Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. There's always been earthquakes, always been tornadoes, always been things like that that have happened in the world, right? But Jesus said in Matthew 24:8, they're going to be like birth pangs. They're going to be, regardless of what they say can happen today, I am not one of them kind of males that has any desire at all to ever have a baby, all right? They say that you can do that now, but I don't know. But you ladies in here that have had children, my wife tells me that it was awful, that the birth pains were awful, and that it was kind of like this. It was kind of like, oh, I'm going along, and all of a sudden, ooh, what's that? You know, a little kind of something or other. And then a little bit later, it was like, ooh, what's that? And then a little bit later, it was like, ah! Well, you know what I mean? I see you ladies laughing. But they increase, birth pains increase in frequency and in intensity, right? So, that's Jesus compared the signs to birth pains. So that means the closer we get to the Lord's return, there's going to be more frequent and intense signs. So there'll be more frequent natural disasters and more intense ones. And that's exactly what's been happening in the last 20 or so years. The United States has experienced 9 of the 10 largest insurance natural disasters in history. 9 of the 10 greatest disasters is ranked by FEMA. 5 of the costliest hurricanes in history, and 3 of its largest, or 4 out of 4 of the largest tornado swarms in history. I grew up in Oklahoma, and we live in just south of Oklahoma City now. More Oklahoma's not far from us. And it has experienced some of the worst tornadoes have gone through and destroyed the city of Moore, Oklahoma. And I don't know what it is about that stretch of land there that they keep having. But they have categories of tornadoes. F5 is supposed to be as bad as you can get. Moore, Oklahoma has had 2 that they have categorized F6, that they've gone off the scale. They've been so bad. So we see those kind of, remember Hurricane Katrina, all these natural disasters that we see happen. Now, I want to say something real quick about the signs of society. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, highly high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, when I read that passage out of the Word of God, that sounds like what you see if you turn on the evening news, doesn't it? That's what we see in the world today. People love themselves. They love money. They love pleasure. The Bible says we're going to see all that. I don't have to go into all these things we see, but our society is plagued with abortion, but praise God for the recent Supreme Court decision. I'm excited about that. I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime, but amen for that. Praise God that we sometimes we have a victory. I believe that is one. For us, but notice this. It says here in the Word of God, it says that they're going to be without natural affection. Now, I believe that's part of what we see with abortion. It's not natural for a woman to want to kill her own child. Not natural. I also see that in this crazy homosexual agenda that is just being pushed down our throats, and you can't go anywhere. You can't. I mean, we were in Walmart the other night, and Walmart had a big thing that says we're celebrating Pride. They had all these rainbow tablecloths and plates and things like that where you could have a Pride picnic. You got to be kidding me. What is our world coming to? But I don't have to go on about how we're in a society plagued by all this stuff. The Bible says in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, that in those days, people did what was right in their own eyes. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. People are calling evil good and good evil. We see that all over. All right, next sign we're going to look at is the spiritual signs. And I think there are more signs in this category than any other. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to babies." So, we see the Bible prophesizing false teachers, false Christ, apostasy, deception, all this kind of stuff. Man, 90% of the churches today have just gone off the rails. Praise God for churches that are still preaching the saving gospel like this one. We're grateful for this church, but 90% of the churches have gone off the rails. And Jesus says there's going to be false Christ and there's going to be cults in Matthew 24. And we see that there's been an explosion of these false Christs in the last, and cults since really since 1850. We had Jehovah's Witnesses, I call them Jehovah's False Witnesses. We got those guys that were Mormons, New Age, Christian Science, Universalism. But praise God, we do see some positive signs here. I think one of those is an understanding of Bible prophecy. I think the prophets didn't always get what God was trying to tell them. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel. I forgot to click the clicker. There's signs of nature, signs of society, spiritual signs. Daniel chapter 12, where I was. Daniel 12, Daniel says to God, says, "God, I don't get it." And this is what God says, Daniel 12, verse 8, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he," God said, "go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." In other words, the Bible teaches that a lot of the end time prophecies won't be understood until the time comes for those prophecies to be fulfilled. I think Israel's a prime example. Dr. Weber couldn't understand. He couldn't figure it out, but he said Israel's going to be a nation in the last days. But I think what I was saying is God has given us men who have been able to teach Bible prophecy. I'm a student of those great men. Your pastor teaches Bible prophecy. Great man of God that have great understanding into Bible prophecy. The gospel is going around the world through radio and television, and we see these kind of things that weren't possible until we're living in that time. Next sign I want to talk about quickly is politics. Man, I'm running out of time, so I'm trying to hurry. Matthew 24, 6 and 7 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See then that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, I've always been fascinated with politics. But have you ever seen a country as politically divided as we are today? I've never seen anything like it. The Bible says that at the end of time, that we're going to see some things happening in world politics. Israel will be reestablished. All the nations, the Arab nations around it, will be hostile toward it. It talks about Russia In Ezekiel 38:39, Gog Magog, Russia rising in the end of times. Daniel prophesied the Roman Empire is going to be revived. People tried to do that through the years. Napoleon and Hitler tried to bring the Roman Empire back together through force, but now they've got they're just kind of doing it. This European Common Market, European Union, we're seeing all that. They've got one currency over there, the euro. All these things are happening right before our eyes. I want to talk about technology just a minute. Signs of technology. Bible says in Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, I've always wondered about this verse. If this isn't talking about some kind of a nuclear Holocaust that happens, I believe, during the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period, the seal and trumpet judgments in chapter 6 and 8 of the book of Revelation, the Antichrist is going to conquer the world, and I believe he's going to use nuclear weapons to do that. We're told one-third of the earth will be burned, one-half of humanity will be killed. And then in Revelation 16, we read that those survivors in that seven-year tribulation are going to be covered with sores that won't heal. I think this is a kind of the technology that that's speaking of. And again, I was talking about some of the things that couldn't be understood apart from technology happening. You read in Revelation chapter 11, there's these two witnesses. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody, you guys are strong, biblically literate. You know the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. It says they're going to call the world to repentance during the first half of the tribulation. Then it says that the Bible tells us they're going to be killed by the Antichrist and that their bodies will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And it says, and the Bible says that the whole world will look upon them. Now, when that was written 2,000 years ago, how in the world could the whole world look upon those two witnesses? You got a cell phone in your pocket? Everybody got a cell phone in here now, right? That's got a TV, everything on it. The whole world could look at that wherever they are now. We've got satellite communication stuff, and that's how I believe the whole world will be able to look on their bodies for the 3.5 days that they're there through technology. How can the Antichrist control all the buying and selling in the world without computers? How could the false prophet bring the statue of the Antichrist to life, to supposed life, without, you know, robotics or holograms or something like that? So technology. We see technology. Now, finally, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about Israel. The Bible says in Zechariah 12:3 that Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone to the world in the last days. And the signs that relate to Israel, I think, are some of the most important because the Jews are God's prophetic time clock. They're like God's watch. The Bible tells us to watch the Jews to see what's happening in the world, and we'll understand what's going on by watching everything that is happening in Israel. Example of that can be found in Luke 21:24, where Jesus said that the Jews would be dispersed from Jerusalem, be led captive among all the nations. But then he added that a day would happen when they'd return to reoccupy Jerusalem. And when that happened, the end time events would occur that would lead to Jesus' return. Ton of tough prophecies concerning the Jews in the end times. Politics, technology. I keep forgetting to click this. Israel. In 1900, there were 40,000 Jews in Israel. By the end of World War II, there were 800,000 Jews in Israel. Today, there are more than 7 million Jews in the nation of Israel. They've come from all over the world. In fact, just last week, I saw where a plane from Ethiopia had come, and these Ethiopian Jews are coming back to, or coming to Israel to settle. Jeremiah, the prophet, says that when history is over, the Jewish people will look back and they will conclude that their regathering was a greater miracle than their deliverance. That their regathering in the end times was a greater miracle than their deliverance from Pharaoh in Egypt with Moses. And we're living in those times. Amazing. People always say to me, wouldn't it be neat to live in Bible times? Wouldn't it be neat to live in Bible? And I know what they were saying. They were saying, wouldn't it be neat to be able to go back in and meet some of those people and see that kind of thing? But I tell them usually, we're living in Bible times. We're living. We're seeing these things happen right before our eyes. Speaking of that, the whole world is focused on Israel. The whole world in politics and everything. United Nations has, that's the only reason they exist is to condemn the nation of Israel for something or other. They come up with something every week almost to condemn Israel. The city of Jerusalem, the Vatican wants to control it. United Nations wants it to be given to the Palestinians. The European Union says that it should be divided up. The Arabs want all of it. And so we've got all these people fighting over Jerusalem here in the end times. Well, I'm out of time. I see that the Sunday school hour went fast today. But you have a handout, and I went through this. You can kind of go through it, do a little study on your own. Lord willing, hopefully before the end of the year is out, this book will be published that has for this in it. I could have probably had 100. I probably could have had more, but I've got over 50 examples here that show that I believe we're living in the season of the Lord's return. But God doesn't want anybody to perish, the Word of God says. So the way to escape that tribulation, all that wrath to come, is to give your life to Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line of all these signs, is that we're living on borrowed time. But I know I'm preaching to the choir here this morning. This is a good church, and you've got a great pastor. But if you know somebody that's not saved, I would pray that you know, pray for them, share with them. Try to get them one to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that term, Maranatha. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray that every day. Let's pray. God Almighty, we thank you for this, your word. Thank you for this, your church. Lord, I pray for Pastor Mike and his wife as they're traveling. Be with them in a special way. Lord, bless your time that we have as we sing your songs and preach your word here in just a moment during a church service time. Bless us, guide us, direct us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.